Hi, I'm Martin. I play Andy the Metamorph. We're an independent podcast. And for more content, please consider joining us on Patreon, Instagram, and Twitter at CBHPod.
Could Have Been Heroes is a role-playing game podcast where six old friends adventure as six total strangers who, after missing their shots at destiny, now get a second chance to make a mess of everything. The Queen of Spite looked up through the waters, and her heart sank as it always did when she looked into the world. She mused for a moment that her scrying pool was likely to have been mostly filled with her tears for centuries. Since the beginning of her long war with mankind, they had called her heartless, cold. Not so. She embraced her title as the Lady of Hate, but hate is not the opposite of love. Hate is love's twin, conjoined. She cared deeply. She felt keenly. As one of the first among the Fae, few understood the cycles and systems of nature better than she. Her enemies often posed to her that humanity was a product of nature, and if they came about naturally, who was she to call for their excision? These were the words of fools, and those who spoke them to her doomed themselves. For the Queen of Spite did not suffer fools to live, and her memory was long. Another king among the Fae, her own brother, Caress Carisom, had posited such. The great green world has often seen fit to raise them up. We are stewards of nature, sister, not its masters. I will not let your armies pass. You cannot exterminate them, he had said to her. Killing him was among the hardest things she had ever done, emotionally and literally. But when the talons of her magic finally shattered his shield and pried his heart from his chest, she felt relief as well as sorrow. Nature is not perfect, she whispered to his cooling cheek. Cancerous growth is perfectly natural. All the same, it must be cut out. Mankind was an animal run amok, a virus swarming out of control, and as one of the first laws of magic states, as above, so below. But her brother, fool that he was not entirely wrong. He was wrong to protect them, and wrong that he would not let her pass. She walked confidently over his corpse and the ruins of his kingdom. But he was right in that she could not exterminate them. It was not possible. They were too many, too strong. Eldblood kings and wizards and ancient arms and armor of legend, cold iron forges, allies in the dwarves, elves, and even giants. She would never understand why these peoples would come to the aid of humans, die for them, kill for them. Even with all these things arrayed against her, she may have yet prevailed. If not for the one group she could never predict or account for. Heroes. A word as warped and misunderstood as love and hate. Hero. Definition eluded her still. Understanding slipped between her fingers for millennia. Always there in the nick of time. Wells of strength that they could draw from, growing more formidable the greater the presented challenge. Always just enough to snatch victory away from her, however well laid the plans. But then the heroes were gone, and her time to strike arrived in a rush of blood and opportunity. The curse had been 1,000 years in the making. Not a death curse, but a curse of limitation. If all the realms and powers were sure to rise up against her if she tried to burn them down, well then, she would not. She had seen the great weakness of humans. Their short lives led to short sight. They could not tell hot or cold, only the change in hot or cold. So she would not burn them. She would boil them slowly. The curse was perfected by her new allies, the Glorious, monsters from time's dawn who she had to thank for the removal of the heroes. The curse's virulence was exquisite, its removal impossible. There was no cure, there was no time, and there were no heroes to stop her. But a girl in red, a wayward bird, a man of rubber, a manatee, a corpse, and a 4-year-old troll had uprooted the seedbed of her curse and flown away on a pixie dust pirate ship. It had taken all her restraint not to kill her messengers when they told her. "You're making the most dangerous joke in history," she had thought. "Surely you want to die a painful death, and so you are teasing me on the eve of my great victory." As above, so below. A viral curse would spread. The dark red invasion would dim their light, and at long last the realms would live in peace, safe from humanity. But 5 fools and a child had undone her plot. Just the right place, in the nick of time. But not heroes. The drop of blood had confirmed that. Not heroes at all. And in them curses writhed. Far darker and crueler curses than anything she had managed to concoct in 1,000 years. Seeds in seed beds. The white tree will bloom again, she thought. But what flower could spring from such a source? What sort of flower?
The party has treated with King Alfiel and the witches, gaining powerful new allies who are also bent on ending the Queen of Spite and the Briar Witch's plans. The group will tackle multiple angles at once, bringing the infuriated Crownlanders to bear, attacking the Briar Tower from without, while they attack from within, and kidnapping the wayward middle daughter of the Queen of Spite herself as an ace in the hole for their very deadly plan. They will surely need it.
So, Lavaline and Val are at the head of this, like, group of adventurers heading into the Swamp of Sorrows, and This is we're in media res, so this is maybe a few days later after the wild events of the Witchwood, and they have loaned you a strong man, one of their manservants, who is being played by Andy, since Martin is in the other adventure. So, Martin, would you tell us just a little bit about Cramuel? What do we see traveling through this, like,
Cramuel Bonds,
gray, swampy, like, marshland, God, heading into the depths of the Swamps of Sorrow?
Yeah, sure. So,
No, I already hate it.
What?
No, sorry, I'm so sorry.
I am Cramuel Bonks. Oh, I was a former student of magic at the Académie de Mystère.
Oh, God.
But was unceremoniously kicked out due to not being very good at magic.
Harassment charges. Sexual
harassment.
I got canceled.
He didn't get canceled. He flunked out.
He totally got canceled.
They tried to cancel
me. I did not.
I survived cancel culture.
My buddy Nugs did get canceled, I left.
Okay.
I
was asked to leave, yeah.
But one day I saved a group of what I assumed in my own privilege to be elderly women needing my assistance.
Ah.
Turns out they were witches. Yeah. And they were good.
Yeah.
They did not need my help to save them from a swamp troll.
Mm-hmm. Was it their swamp troll?
Unclear.
Unclear. So, they took me in and have promised to teach me magic someday. They haven't started yet. but I have learned a lot about women. And Gaia, Mother Gaia. Wow.
Wow.
Love her work.
Anyway, so I just do stuff for them, like sweep and pick up stuff, poke things, a lot of moving things, reaching things.
Wow. Opening jars.
Opening jars, I do that. So yeah, classic. I hope one day that they'll let me... you know, learn a sick-ass spell or two.
So, classic manservant behavior. Mm-hmm. He is of the species himbo, in case anyone was wondering. You know, thick neck, handsome face, square jaw, muscular.
It's spelled H-I-M-B-E-A-U-X.
Holy fucking
wow.
Shit. That's
B-E-A-U-X.
Himbo.
Put some respect on my name.
Okay. Oh, shit.
So, long story short, je m'appelle Cramuel Bonks.
Oh, wow.
So, Lavaline and Val have traveled 2 days with this guy. He's probably carrying the majority of, like, the heavy stuff. He is insanely, supernaturally strong. You can only assume that the witches have been weaving, like, oxen charms around him for...
It's actually a mixture of... an herb called creatine.
Oh, God.
I do a lot of creatine.
Please kill him.
No, no.
Why haven't they silenced him?
Yeah, seriously.
I don't understand.
It gives me really bad back knee, but the witches promise they have a salve for that.
Yuck. I hate this.
So it's entirely possible that they do have, like, a selective hearing enchantment on him or whatever, but unfortunately
But they
that,
didn't pass that on
yeah,
to
Yeah, they didn't
us.
Pass that on to you guys, unfortunately, so. But what they did pass on to the two of you is some pretty sick weapon enhancements. The matrons of the Witch Clan, as Val was initiated, they invited her into one of their, like, secret sanctums, this, like, inverted endless space inside of an old tree, and they pulled out strand after strand of their, like, silvery withered hair and strung a bow with it that they gifted to you. So you'll see in your inventory you have the witch hair bow. Ooh. And how that works is it is a very strong bow with enhanced damage, but it can also bless arrows that you fire from it with witch kisses. So when you fire an arrow out of it, you just say that you're doing that. And when you have done that for the 10th time, the bow string will break and the bow will be destroyed forever. However, those abilities are very powerful.
Yeah, so I don't think the bow should have any limits.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Unlimited witch arrows.
Okay.
Is but that too much to
listen,
ask?
10 is a lot. Okay. Like, I mean,
10's a lot?
Like... The witches.
I'm gonna use 10 this
you
episode.
You want to just make the witches bald, but like they're just. Oh,
I just want to shoot people into other realms of existence every single
Is
time.
Is that
I shoot
so
an
much
arrow.
To ask?
I'm sorry. Oh, so women can't get what they want here.
Oh,
okay, hold on.
It's a misogynistic world.
Cool. No. You didn't even know it existed until I made
and now
it.
Now I do, and I'm going to be a bitch about it.
Okay, So would you read
it's really good.
Would you read those the three blessings you can put on there?
Yeah, so starting off strong with End of Men. A male character
yes.
struck by this bow suffers a critical hit. No notes.
No notes. Absolutely.
And next, ramping it up, thin existence. There is a 100% chance a character struck by the bow fades into another realm for 3 rounds.
So that will be resisted by.
So am I going to shoot Cramuel right now? I'm thinking about it. And then last, forgetting arrow. No one but you notices that this arrow was fired, even if it hurts someone. So secret arrows. Mm-hmm. Man-hating arrows.
Yeah.
I love a secret
other existent, like,
arrow.
Oh, man. It's too good.
It is. But remember, 10 and it's gone forever.
I know.
So I highly recommend shooting 9 and just hanging onto the bow for its enhanced damage properties, unless really required.
That's a good idea.
We could shoot the memory arrow, and then I could memory jar you. And literally no one would ever know.
Yeah, there's just an arrow sticking out of somebody that no one will ever acknowledge.
We have to make that happen.
There would
the
be
ultimate
some
ultimate in gaslighting.
Yeah, you've no gaslit idea. Like the universe.
Yeah.
And only we here in our universe would know. In their world, no one
no
is
idea.
Allowed to know.
Mm-hmm.
Just that arrow sticking out of that guy's
Ooh,
cheek.
That gave me chills. I don't like it, but yeah. I also love it.
That's
so evil. Puppeteer.
Yeah, once you start getting into, like, memory writing and, like, mind control and stuff, I really think magic gets very scary. I think that a lot of spells in other systems and stuff play the whole, like, mind control and memory altering stuff way too light. Like, I think that that would be a very serious crime if it existed in our world. Like, I would think that if you controlled somebody's mind, that it would be very akin to, well, it would be a really, really serious crime in our world for sure. So
that makes me think of Alan Moore's, like, his, like, theory.
Yeah.
That, yeah, like, the media basically is modern magic.
Yep. Ooh. Yeah. Very cool. Because what else?
And I don't, like, want to think about that.
And that, like, tradition, that, like, storytelling tradition and truth manipulating tradition goes back to, like, ancient shamanism.
It does.
Mm-hmm. So, like, it actually, like, kind of does have its magic roots in the same place.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Alan Moore is a genius. Yeah. He's also crazy and troubled, but he is an awesome man and an incredible thinker. And I think that his theory is incredibly sound. Like, the early shamans definitely came up with a lot of these traditions to shape their societies in ways that they deemed fit. And if performing rituals that literally change the makeup of people's minds and society moving forward isn't magic, what the fuck is?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, very cool. So
now I'm just gonna think of Tucker Carlson's show as being like an evil,
evil wizard,
evil ritual that gets performed on.
Oh my god! But
he's like,
no,
he's like the jawless warlock from the 90s, like those awful movie. The movie's called Warlock. Do you remember those?
Yeah.
Let me see your boobs.
Ick.
Yeah, just awful.
God.
Okay, so approaching the entrance to the Swamp of Sorrows, which is legend says is the mouth of an enormous giant who died of a broken heart. So apparently it leads into some sort of an underworld. But they said that the swamp has its own sky and has its own oceans and
breath,
oceans and gut, breath and
gut rot.
So it's like some sort of an internal space. Anyway, as you approach, it appears the legends may be true. The mound that you see coming out of the mist is enormous, the size of a huge hillside, and you can see a swollen, half-lidded eye peering out from under the muck and rot and coils of ancient roots, trees clinging to the side of its desiccated corpse. The mouth is hanging ever so slightly open, the teeth, some of them dangling in there, big as houses, big as like as like houses in a hamlet, dangling out of the head. And the smell is sweet, like sickly sweet, like
when flowers, like, start to decay,
like a diabetic,
like ever so slightly decaying flowers.
Were you gonna say like a diabetic's piss?
Yes.
Like Amanda when she's low, if you just get a good,
no, it'd be the opposite.
Every once in, yes, a while when she has too much of the glucums.
Too many donuts.
Too
Amanda
many,
after too many donuts.
Amanda starts to smell like a
sweet,
like,
death.
Like,
see,
syrup.
I stopped myself, and apparently I shouldn't.
I know.
Your eyes said diabetic piss.
Yeah, I read it. She looked right at me. Like that happened. I'm not crazy. Does it smell like a looks at me and closes her
like
mouth.
Like a diabetic, yeah. So,
no, finish the thought, Kathy.
There is, sitting in front of the mouth of this absolutely titanic giant, is a lesser giant, a hunched creature made out of knotted roots and clay, and it is sitting with its back like hunched and its head hanging down, and it looks like it's been sitting here unmoving for, I mean, hundreds of years. It's so ancient looking, but its hand is outstretched as if it is like awaiting an offering. Okay, so as you approach, you look up into the sky and you see bubbles.
Bubbles?
Bubbles floating down. Because, meanwhile,
she came down in a bubble,
she
dog.
Came down in a bubble, bro! Which, by the way, how is that an argument that
grow up!
She wore a crown and she came down in a bubble, bro.
Her sister was a witch.
Tell me I'm wrong. This, do you guys not know what that is?
I gosh, actually do know.
You guys I forced it on you here ago, yeah. at this table.
Okay, so previously...
I wish I didn't know, but I do.
This is the best.
The puttering... cluttering sounds of the sky ship Skettleblimp as it puts its way through the sky, leaving a trail of rainbows and glitter dust behind it.
Rabbit poops.
And time? No, not rabbit poops.
Deer poops.
Fine. Deer poops.
Close enough. Same thing.
An insanely brightly painted, glittery and gay affair floating through the air. A massive blimp covered in colors and rainbow patterns and glitters and stars, all of which hidden inside of a massive invisibility spell being channeled by the guildmaster who is on the prowl. So being brought along are the veteran legendary heroes, the Barricade, who somehow instinctively flexes and poses for an audience
for no one.
Somewhere in the multiverse. He is a former traveling companion of one Sarilyn Applejack, the mentor, the now deceased mentor of the Nearleys, and one of her other original companions, Herdys Buidow, who fires a blast out of her Crundler Blust bow, which, by the way, is just a trumpet, like a trumpet-shaped blunderbuss that she packs full of garbage and shrapnel and
glass
and
poisons
and fires off randomly into the air, but her badassery shapes the attacks into homing missiles and beacons. So she's just like an overpowered ranger. That's where we're at with this. I will let each of you describe your character, the visual. So as the camera now pans and whips around, what do we see with these characters? But the Barricade gets his spotlight, like somehow he feels eyes on him and strikes one of his strikes a pose.
He's always greased and in a gold, like, lame Speedo.
By the way, there are going to be three greased muscle men in this group. I just realized how many, like, beefy muscle guys there
yes,
are in this group.
Yes, make it gay.
Who's the
make
third
it
one?
Gay.
Yeah, barricading.
The third one
we've
is
got Thick. We've got
that
Cramiel.
Barbarian. Barlam the Brave is on this. He's old, though. He's, like, got a Ric Flair kind of sang to him. Yeah.
Yeah, so the Barricade, greased up muscle man that basically.
All right, we got all the
so
greased up muscle man.
Before he met Sarah and began his life as an adventurer, he was actually, basically a sort of a traveling carnival prize fighter. Think like 1970s professional wrestler, basically.
Yeah.
And he's an orc. Or half orc, I think. Right, half orc.
It's up to you. Yeah, I don't think I recall.
I think he's just an orc. Green skin with that glistens in the sunlight because of the flower smelling oils that he's put on. dressed like a like you'd expect him to be wrestling Andre the Giant next, mm-hmm. and.
So what, like a boot mid-calf? Like, how close to the knee are we talking?
High.
These laces? Or?
Yeah, laced up pretty high. And then showing off a lot of thigh above that. And then
huge thighs. Huge
so
green, rippling thighs.
And then, the little wrestling trunks that look like he could be a diver in the Olympics. Mm-hmm. And maybe some, like, decorative... straps across his like massive chest.
You gotta play into these.
Ooh, a little harness action.
Yeah, harness action. Okay. Classic. Okay.
Wow. I've heard of this guy from the Far Ital Screwjob.
Whoa.
Yes. The infamous, infamous Screwjob.
Far Ital Screwjob.
That's what he's sort of standing there stoically next to Herdy.
Speaking of Herdy.
Hello.
The camera has to pan down
way
three or
down.
4 feet. Way down.
Way down.
To get to the long-eared, fuzzy girl.
I am extremely cute. I am extremely small. I am extremely...
Evil.
Yeah.
Were you there?
I'm sorry.
1,000%.
I stepped on
No, it's all right. You helped.
She has an adorable pink nose.
Yep.
and a lot of notches on her weapon.
I dress fairly, like, unassumingly. I dress for, like, utility. I have, like, a cloak and robes, but everything has pockets, and every pocket, I'm a maximalist, but every pocket has some sort of, like, deadly piece of either garbage to go in my Krundlerbluss or in one of my traps. But yeah, I'm a little rabbit Keimer, and I am deceptively cute looking, but I will murder you so quickly. I'm very reactionary, and I lead with my gut, and it gets us into all kinds of tricky situations, but I'm always right.
She also sort of runs part of the Faerital underworld.
I may have been spending my retirement by creating a black market in a heavenly space and selling peddling pixie dust.
The happily ever underworld. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. It was
the ever under,
because you were in happily ever after, and so the ever
or
under.
Or it's the good place. Everything is supposed to be curated perfectly, but the good place doesn't know what to do with Herdy, who, like, thrives in being basically, like, a drug lord. I have to be running some kind of ring.
Yep. The Ever Under. That's right. That's what it was called.
So,
yeah, they don't,
Herdy created a need for a black market so that she could run a black market in an environment that does not need a black market.
It was perfection, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But she didn't know it needed a black market.
I saw a space, and I filled it.
All right, well.
So I have my companion, Thick.
Yes, who is possibly some sort of a demon or nether being or something.
Because he can, like, appear and disappear and be sent on missions.
He follows literally in your shadow, like, rising up out of Herdy's shadow, like, on occasion, like he's coming out of an elevator straight from hell. Yeah.
We're bound by something bad, I'm sure.
So there are more scintillating waves of magic from the front of the ship as the Guildmaster's, like, veil spell, like, coruscates a few times as it is disrupted by fairy magic.
I'm not sure how much longer I can keep such a large vessel hidden, but...
And he coughs out, like, a few puffs of fairy dust as like magical like interference that shrouds the entire Grimwood like gets into his gullet.
But I think that we have reached the entrance to the Swamp of Sorrows where you are to meet your charges. Do your best to keep them alive, specifically the one named Lavaline and the one named Valeriana. You can let everyone else die if you must, but don't let any harm come to the two of them. We need them.
You've been surprisingly useful for once. Thank you.
So, the Guildmaster...
We're going to bond over how much Herdy also hates the Guildmaster.
The Guildmaster almost, you know, would never go on the front lines, except he kind of has to right now because they are really short-staffed. In fact, all the guard, like...
Nobody wants to just get up and work anymore, you know?
Oh, yeah. It's almost like they all disappeared, or...
I have the best advice for working women.
It's like, you want money, right?
Yeah, then just go make some.
Go make some.
Like, what? Like, it's hard?
Like, it's hard.
My friend Pete Davidson.
No.
No. You're not here. Hold on. I'll turn
to the Guildmaster. Will you be staying here with the getaway vehicle?
The getaway vehicle is a rescue mission. The refugees from a place called Thistleberry Hollow need to be literally airlifted out of the most dangerous forest in Faerital.
So you're going there, then?
That is where I'm going. You're on your own. Once you're dropped in, you'll have to find your own way out.
And then we rendezvous there?
No. wherever toys are sold. No, we rendezvous back at the guild headquarters. So you can reach the guild headquarters through any of the like guild halls. They're all over Faerital. Most of them completely empty. Actually, most of them have squatters in them at this point because the heroes that ran them have all vanished. So, but they all have portals to the guild hall in the back. Good luck. I'm off to save some refugees. Using the, I don't know what we'd call them, the Q team. And he looks at his like entourage of fighters and wizards and warriors.
all of whom are familiars, sidekicks, and summons. So the sidekick brigade is one of their very first missions.
Hell yeah.
You see the two. You see two penguins who were the familiars of an ice mage. There is a bunch of summoned skeletons, a bunch of like animated dead that
Ashley's.
Yeah, Ashley's and
Ashley's cousins.
Yep. There are lots of familiars, like little squirrels and rats, all in armor with little helmets on, and they've all, you know, they've mounted up on riding toads and things.
What is your house, huh?
They are going to get slaughtered.
They're all gonna die, yeah.
Actually, I've found them to be insanely effective. Hmm. Oh. They've completed several high profile assassinations, missions, and my god, the squirrels completed a tier 3 dungeon the other day.
Tier 3? Huh.
Yeah. I'm not sure why.
I've never been one for familiars, but I'm proud of them.
I know, I'm strangely proud of them too. I don't know what to do with these feelings of being pleasantly surprised for
once. Keep them to yourself. I don't want to bond with you.
Yeah, let's. I need to concentrate on the spell regardless.
Yep, you should go, yeah.
If the Melusine were to see us, we would be ripped asunder before we had a chance to do anyone any good. So I'll go back to concentrating. When you're ready, go over there and see Galinda of the Kindly North for a bubble down.
So there is a woman in just an insane bell dress covered in sparkles with a sparkly crown. She works bubble magic.
We should probably go get our bubble.
I'm ready.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
I am Galinda of the Kindly North. I heard that my sisters the witches were having a hard time, and I've come to render my aid.
Very kind of you.
Would you like a bubble?
Yes, we would. We would like a bubble. One bubble? Share? Do we share a bubble? Do we each get our own bubble?
Oh, I wouldn't.
Okay.
two bubbles it is.
Then. Two bubbles, please.
There's not a lot of air in the bubble.
Got it. Thank you for that. Great. You want to go first? He's going to go first.
And she just sweeps her wand out. Her wand, which, by the way, has...
Screaming.
Yeah, has a big ring at the end of it. So
just
it
makes a bubble.
It makes a bubble. Yeah, like a film forms over it, and then it just, like, sweeps the bubble up, and the bubble, like, feels, like, really tight around your fingers as it squeezes up your arm and slides over your body.
You're probably going to be pretty cold down there without any clothes, you know.
I'll be fine. The thick skin.
Yes, I see.
He's
that.
Not like regular men.
Yes, I see that. Well, enjoy. And then suddenly,
just kicks him.
Yeah, yes. just gives you a little, and suddenly you're weightless and you're invisible inside of a massive iridescent pink bubble that like globs off of the side.
I imagine she has.
Here
like,
we go.
She's like a full-bodied person, like a full adult-sized princess, mm-hmm. but has like tiny Barbie feet.
Oh yeah! Oh, so tiny! Yeah, like 6-inch yes. little teeny pointy toes.
All right, Miss Andrew, un boobel.
I got a sneeze stuck in my throat. Yeah. Yes, please.
Boobel for you.
Whoa!
All right, so it squeezes down, oiling your fur ever so slightly as the liquid passes over.
See, the barricade
form.
Didn't notice
because he's already oiled.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He comes out shimmery, like rainbow oiled now. Bye bye.
That'll put.
And then, you know, if someone wanted to kill you, now would be the time. Like if someone had a vendetta, they'd just pop the bubble and send you plummeting out of the sky. Goodbye!
What?
Goodbye! Goodbye!
Are we fighting?
No, goodbye!
Okay!
So Galinda says something very creepy to Herdy as she kicks you off of the side. And then you float, the two of you are float in sync, hovering down.
What was her deal?
I don't know, but I think she sort of threatened to kill me on the way out. I mean, like, respect, but I don't know how many bubbles I want to be traveling in.
Well, we're halfway down already. Still far enough to kill us if we fell.
Okay.
So I definitely think the bubbles make like give intro music. Like, so as the group is looking down at these two bubbles, Oh, that's nice, yeah. But it's like flute. It's like really light, like flutey sounds. Yeah. And then the two bubbles alight on the ground, and each of them pop. And inside is a massive, muscular orc and a teeny tiny little murder bunny.
That's your entrance music?
I don't know. It's the first thing that popped into my head.
Yeah, what's Barricade's entrance music?
Probably like Rage Against the Machine. The Battle of Los Angeles.
Killing the neighbor.
But on flute.
No.
Yeah.
No.
That's the bubble magic.
Yeah, it's bubble magic. Can only produce flute-like sounds.
Yeah.
Can that mine at least be like 8-bit Nintendo version?
No.
I have literally flute music. It has to be.
You can't change
Killing
the magic.
The name of...
Under the
Did you just do under the sea?
Killing in the name of
sickest mashup ever.
Killing in the name of.
Holy shit. Okay, well.
Well, I mean, we've peaked. We're not going to.
Better wrap this up.
We're not going to get better than that. All right. All right, bubbles pop. Reinforcements have arrived.
Let's do this.
Who are these new people?
That is the Barricade prize fighter. I lost 700 gold coin on you.
Shoots him in the face.
So Barlum the Brave, the Barbarian, like...
You bet on me?
Yeah, in retrospect, I kind of feel like I should have seen that coming. Mm-hmm. But I thought you were due.
So he comes over and, like, claps your arm. Barlum the Brave, retired adventurer, unretired.
Well met, the Barricade. Retired adventurer, unretired.
Oh, my God. I'm Calendar the Bard. I'm a huge fan. Oh, my God. Rabbits!
What's happening?
Calendar the Bard, the floppy-eared Lopsahopso, comes floppeting over to you, all wibbling. He's got really long feet and floppity ears.
Oh my God, Hurdy Sweeto! It's so incredibly nice to make your acquaintance. I'm Calendar the Bard.
Hi.
You don't know me.
Am I supposed to?
Oh, that's okay. I'm probably a little before your time. I'm also an adventurer. Oh my gosh, sorry. I'm just fangirling out a little bit.
Okay.
You know, as a bard, I'm a professional fan.
I just turn and walk away from
him. I'm a professional fan of adventurers.
She just like...
I just leave.
Yeah. Bubble magic. So
our production value. Yeah. What the fuck? Why haven't we traveled in bubbles, you guys? Yeah. We could have done this the whole time.
Wait, was Galenda of the Kindly North with you on?
Yeah, she's weird.
Oh, yes. Dangerously insane. So the woman speaking is a Cheska Polretsky, Mage of Moonlight, who is your magic expert on this mission.
Pleasure to meet you. Mm. Hurdy Spuido.
How did you... Just, but you traveled by bubble all the way from...
No, bubbles are short range transports.
That's what I was...
There's an airship up there.
Really?
Yeah, well, it's gone now, but...
It's overcast, but I think we would have noticed an airship.
Well, there are people on board that have certain...
There's magic for that.
Concealments.
Someone is able to veil an entire airship?
Whoa.
Yep.
Color
me impressed.
Pardon me. I am Cramuel Bonks. It's a pleasure to meet you, Mr. Barricade and Hurdy. I am Cramuel Bonks, partier, people person, and polymath.
Can I call you Crammy?
No, Cramuel. Thank you. I'll go back to carrying things now.
You need a hand with that?
No, I got it, bro, but thanks.
This is like my
out.
Thing.
He's trying to take my fucking thing.
Carrying is my thing.
Protect your turf, Crammy.
Getting
I get
all
it.
The groceries in one trip Crammy. Is my thing.
Crammy will tell you about consensual non-monogamy, though, if you give him enough time. And
it's
you're like, I really need you to stop.
So, Crammy has introduced himself and gone back to carrying things. However, Barricade, you notice that the stuff he's carrying is insane. Like, the amount of weight of weapons and explosives and gear that he's carrying is pretty impressive. Cramuel, what is your strength score again?
10.
Whoa.
10! Alright, so...
Cramuel it is.
Yeah.
Bro doesn't miss leg day.
Cramuel?
I do not. It is healthy for a holistic approach to bodybuilding.
Right on, bro.
Yeah.
Well, you'll be valuable, but you also might be terrible.
I'm all about gains. I'll shut up.
I'll see myself.
Yeah, so Cramuel has learned to pipe in and then like disappear into the background before the witches get too angry with them about anything.
So who here is Lavaline?
And then your eyes alight on the beauty and majesty that is Lavaline Crest.
Is that you?
No.
Oh, no. No. That's you must be believing.
Val sings yeah. Puts Lavaline's intro for her. No.
So you're Lavaline.
Yes, that would be me.
All right.
So from the letter that Sarah left you, complete with very sweet sketches and descriptions of them, you spot, Lavaline Crest, the wayward queen, who may or may not have tortured or killed her husband to escape, and Valeriana Vacarel, another runaway from an evil and oppressive place, with the crimson cloak, pointed ear, and chaotic glint in her eye.
Yeah, you're pretty much like Sarah said in her letter.
Oh, so you knew Sarah.
Oh, yeah.
They go way back. Mm-hmm. Literally to day one, Farital. The first campaign, the first fucking...
Yeah, funny how we adventured with her for years and she didn't die, and she adventures with you for 15 minutes and...
I guess we did harder things.
Whoa. That is... That's
I'm not sure you're familiar with Herdy's resume.
I'll let it speak for itself when the time comes.
She went there.
Look, it was a different era.
Oh, that's no excuse for past behavior. I have learned just because...
That's not what I'm...
Oh, all right.
Yeah, our second mission is killing Cramuel. Oh, I'm covering it up.
Okay,
so
well, you and I are going to get along just fine.
I think the coven would not appreciate that.
I will get kicked out of the coven to kill you.
I'm in love with Valeriana. Immediately.
Yeah, making jokes about murdering someone that you're not 100% sure are jokes. Yeah.
Herdy's like going through in her mind the inventory of like what spot in the ranks in the Everhunter she can give to Val when this is all
I
over.
I bet I can get her up to vice lieutenant. Like, yeah.
I mean, I run the place. I can do whatever I want.
Ladies and gentlemen, says the massive unretired barbarian. Shall we move into actual adventure? Yeah. It is good to meet you all. Mouth of Giant leads to Swamp of Sorrows.
Great.
Well, that sounds...
Hell yeah! Go team!
All right. So Calendar pulls out a massive tome of mysteries.
All right. So, according to this, to enter the Swamps of Sorrows through the mouth of the heartbroken Titan, gonna get spicy right off the bat. Apparently, we all have to offer a heartbreak to the Guardian.
How? As an individual or
yes.
As a group? Every single one of us?
Yep, the sketch here, he holds up the book, shows a line of adventurers each, like, placing a heartbreak into the hand of the Guardian. So this absolutely massive giant hunched in front of the Titan's mouth. And you can see down the throat is, like, a path. And the path leads to, like, a plain, like, a thin, slimy sheet that stretches off farther than you can see. There's a whole other place down there, and it's lit, like, from above as if it has its own sun and moon, and so there's, like, a whole world inside of this this Titan's gullet, and but this giant bar's entry.
So what does that entail exactly?
Yeah.
What do we do, like... Tell it about some time we were sad or something?
Yeah, I think so. Well, I think it's got to be a true heartbreak, right? I'll go first. Set the example like a good little bard.
Okay.
Oh, giant of sorrows, it is I, Calendar the Bard, and I present to you a heartbreak for entry into the Swamp of Sorrows. Recently, I met one of my own personal heroes.
Oh.
Stories of her adventures as a tiny rabbit person.
Oh, for God's sake.
And venturing.
This is going to be good.
Led me into my own adventuring career, and then I met her. And, well, it didn't go very well, and she walked away and pooped a little poop as she left, and it made me feel very small in a way that I hadn't felt since childhood.
You're such a good heel. Respect.
And
wow, you give other people way too much power over you. That's super pathetic.
Yeah. Wait. Oh. And then that happened.
I'm trying to get us in. Play
and
along.
A tiny little like.
Oh, he's talking about Herdy.
Doesn't skip leg day.
Skips brain day.
Skip brain day.
I'm trying. I am on a constant path of betterment.
That's the problem.
It's not his turn with the brain cell.
Wow.
All right, so a weird little pink heart-shaped gem appears over the giant's hand, cracks in two, and falls into its palm.
Okay.
And then Calendar traipses past.
I have a heartbreak that I could share.
Sing it plain, child. Calendar is behind him, encouraging you.
I don't understand, but I will tell my tale of heartbreak. So, back at the Academy de Mystere, me and my buddy Nugs were trying to make a gravity cauldron so we could do some stuff.
Oh my god.
Anyway, it opened, it caused a huge... sorry, my dip.
Oh, God!
Anyway,
the giant of sorrows. Like, by the way, I did describe it. Its face is just a hole, like this, just this like hole, like of nettles.
So just and let him in, so that'll stop talking.
It, like,
pretty much.
But it does like wince a little.
Oh no! God.
Anyway, we got void matter everywhere. They kicked me out of school. Unjustly, unfairly, and me and Nugs did not get to go on the senior trip. Here ends my tale of woe.
And I bow.
God.
Very deeply.
How does that work? Like, how does that get...
A little magical pink stone appears and breaks in half and falls into the giant's hand because the magic is relative. It's his sadness. It doesn't compare to real heartbreak of yours, but it's a great and heavy heartbreak for his. So
it was easily the biggest tragedy of my life.
Holy fucking shit. So apparently the magic is relative because that worked and Calendar is allowed into the Swamps of Sorrows. Cramuel is allowed into the Swamps of Sorrows, who walks over next to Calendar, who gives you a sweet pat.
Thank you. I know there will be other trips to Senior Prince Frogs.
No. The Frog Prince has lots of drinks for everyone. There's enough for you.
I know.
You'll get a pina colada.
Someday my Frog Prince will come.
Yeah, and you'll get a pina colada in Frog Heaven or wherever it is you want to go.
Hopefully mixed in my mouth.
Oh, that sounds fun. Let's do that.
By a willing partner.
By Goose Consent.
Consent.
All right. Who's up?
Hey, I'm Val. I've had to spend 2 days traveling with the guy who just went.
A tiny pink heart appears and shatters in half and falls into his palm. Oh my god, I can't believe that works, but it totally would.
Thanks.
Oh,
that's good.
I
the giant like makes like non-eye contact with you.
I pat Val on the back, being like, he sounds like he's a real asshole.
He doesn't even get it, man.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I also had to travel with him.
Whoa, no doubles.
It shouldn't work for her.
He shakes his head a little bit.
Damn it.
I have story. Why I went into retirement. I was in battle, slaying raiders who had burned village. I killed one. I killed another. I cut X in my teeth and split a man in half.
Badass.
Whoa.
And then I turned and threw an X at the movement out of the corner of my eye. Was a little girl. I watched the X move. I knew what would happen, but there was nothing I could do. The splitter had opened like a coconut. I had been using Battle Rage all these years, but it's not right to use evil, even to fight evil. So I went and got laid by nymphs for 20 years.
Oh, wow. That took a turn.
And a little pink heart appears and breaks over the giant's palm.
That was the most sad story. Except for the part where you got some. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's so perfect. That part was pretty, yeah, good though. That was not part of the sad part.
All right, well, I've got one.
I have Sarah's letter in my pocket. I got this from my friend, who is dead. And I don't want to give away too much more, so I just fold it up and put it back in my pocket and wait and see if the giant can just, like, feel.
Indeed. It hears what you're laying down, and a small pink heart cracks over the giant's palm and allows you entrance to the swamp.
I gotta keep it together. I can't let anybody see me vulnerable, but that giant knows what's up. I'm gonna flash a look at Lavaline and then walk through.
Oh, so you caught a little glint of something in Herdy's eyes as she marches past you into the...
Okay, Lavaline does like the idea that you don't have to actually voice this sadness. You just have to, like, I don't know, think about it, apparently. Mm. No, come on!
Just for Herdy. Yeah.
I can go next. Ooh.
Open up, Lavaline. It'll make you unburden yourself. It's nice.
The barricade has volunteered.
Yeah, mine is the... Well, actually, the last time I did see Sarah, we were fighting as a team. Not me and Sarah weren't fighting. Me and Sarah never fought. We were trying to save a little boy, but a real little boy
from the world above.
And it wasn't going to be easy. In fact, none of us even really thought it was possible. And the only hope we had was to do something that would mean that I wasn't ever going to get to see them again. And so I don't even really know what happened, because I didn't expect to have another chapter to my story after that. So I kind of wonder if it even worked. But yeah, my heart broke when I knew I was saying goodbye to them.
The giant makes a strange guttural sound, and
he's crying,
and some saline rolls out of the nettle hole in the middle of its face, and the heart appears in its palm. All right, that seems to have worked. Acheska Polreski, Mage of Moonlight. I developed a whole kind of magic, intending to use it to heal and to purge diseases. And it wasn't. It was used as a as a weapon. And an entire race of people known as the Kelixi are extinct because of how well it worked on them.
Oof. Holy fuck.
That's a bad one.
And then
maybe keep that one to yourself.
Yeah, the giant goes like,
too much. Too much.
She just trauma dumped on this giant.
Oof. Yeah, it like has to like shake its hand off after that one hits it. And all right, so then she walks past.
Probably very deliberately after Herdy's little stink eye, but she does not talk stink about Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
I
notice.
Well, Well, that means I have to go, you know, pre.
Anyway, I got it. I got it.
So I was kidnapped and forced into a marriage that obviously I didn't want to be part of, but that wasn't the moment of heartbreak. The moment of heartbreak was a little while later when I finally gave up hope on being able to escape. Come on.
And the heart, of course, it breaks and falls into its palm. The giant then closes its palm and then puts all of the crystals up and opens them and drops them into the hole in its face, where they become part of the Swamp of Sorrows forever.
Gross.
And now when you think about those memories, they feel a little different, like a little floaty, a little hazy, like there's a fog rolled over them.
Huh. Did I go to Senior Prince Frog's? Also, Lavaline, I'd like to take this opportunity on behalf of my gender to apologize for the oppression that you went through.
Thank you, Cramuel.
I feel better.
Fuck it, and he feels better. Suddenly he looks brighter and lighter. Somehow it doesn't seem to have taken any weight off of Lavaline, yep. But he looks like he feels better.
That's
a
what matters.
I feel pretty good right now.
Wow. I did it. I right. fixed massaging.
You all guys, right. we it's just over, have to guys. Say sorry more.
Wow.
Nice. All right. So, you head down the gullet of the Titan into the Swamps of Sorrows. The air suddenly changes the second you, like, breach in through the back of this tunnel. And again, above where you would expect darkness and, like, the cavern of this thing's mouth or, like, stomach or something, instead there is a sky, like this whole gray sky that sags with thick cumulus clouds. Like, you almost feel like if you were just a little taller, you could jump up and touch the sky. That's how, like, sagging and heavy it feels. The ground underneath your feet has a give to it of a couple of inches, like, just like settles down, and the water that covers the ground is like glass, just this unbroken plate of water stretching out in all directions. To the west, you can see it starts to get into fens and, like, thick grasses and sedges that look like you would have to, like, crawl through them. They're so, like, dense and mounded up with twisted trees poking up here and there. To the right is a salt flat where the plate of water gives way to just this dry, crusty calciform that spreads out. And directly ahead of you is just up that, like, glassy, glossy sheen of water. And then mounds of mud start to appear out of it. You can see, like, haze and steam ejecting from spots in the ground that seem to open up and, like, emit this weird mist. And then you think you see huge shapes, like turtles or crabs or something, just, like, kind of slowly meandering or rumbling through this mud. In front of you, there is a sign. And it is ludicrously crooked and cricked, and it has three directions. You know, it's like a sign with the different arrows with the names of the places written on them. And to the left, it says Sedge. To the right, it says The Scald. And kind of to the west, like further into the mud, it says Seloshorn Village.
Guys, this swamp is pretty dank, and not in a good way.
Great observation, Cramiel.
It's dankest place I have ever been.
What do you make of this?
Well, I don't know.
I don't fucking know. I don't fucking know either. Listen, I'm not really sure which way to go.
Yeah, Acheska, like, is polishing one of her moonstones. Listen, we're all kind of hot dropped into this. Let's see, we're hunting Kel, or rather, we're hunting a princess who's following Kel, and Kel is hunting a Kelpie. Kelpies are waterborne monstrosities that hunt on shorelines. So directly ahead, it seems like there are some shorelines and things there. The sedge that way might be more conducive to hunting it, but I'm not going in there. It looks like it will take weeks just to crawl through.
Yeah.
And I definitely don't think that it would be anywhere called the Scald. So also, there's a village that way. We can ask, hey, have you seen a Kelpie around here?
I know whenever I don't know what to do, I just start walking. And usually something will happen.
Okay, bye.
God, it must be nice, right?
Yeah.
To just stumble through life and have everything work out.
To have the confidence of a mediocre white man, am I right?
Excuse me, I can lift very heavy things.
Must be nice.
Better than a mediocre guy.
Okay, well, your assessment, Cheska, is quite sound. And that seems like a good plan if the party agrees.
Sounds
good. What is the plan? Go check the town?
Ask around at the village.
Yeah, that's fine.
Well, we certainly don't have weeks, so that seems like a good plan.
Isn't that going to be a little conspicuous?
Hmm.
I don't know.
That's
I
a
think
good,
anything
that's...
we do is going to be pretty conspicuous, she says, looking around yeah. at the group.
Fair enough.
I do think that we have the strength of arms to protect ourselves from any...
violent questioning.
Yeah, from any mundane habits. Between the barricade, myself, Barlam, Herdy, we have some heavy firepower.
Don't like that I was listed like fifth in that list, but yes.
Between Herdy, and just Herdy, nothing else even matters. I think we have all the firepower we need.
I agree.
She says, like, changing her assessment.
Sure, but what's the story going to be that we're after Kel because we want to help in the harpy hunt? I agree we can protect ourselves, but it...
Just say we have an edible arrangement to deliver to
hey,
Cal.
Hey, there we are.
We're a traveling lacrosse team.
Calendar like, claps his bunny hands together and forms an illusion of a gorgeous, kelpie-headed, you know, like it's all evil horse cookies. Like, ta-da!
My gut tells me to go into the village and kind of get a finger on the pulse of how people feel about Kel, and then we craft a story, rather than trying to go in with a story and having it be the wrong one, potentially.
Good Great. Thinking.
Go poke around and then form our lie from there.
Mm-hmm.
As long as we have consent to finger that pulse, I'm all for it.
I need a beer.
I bet they have beer at the village.
Let's go.
All right.
So... after a wet and sodden and very depressing march through the swamps of sorrows, the mud of which seems to leach all happiness out through your boots, it just...
What if we don't wear boots?
Well, then all the worse through your pink little pads.
Oh, my toe beans.
The toe beans. Toe beans. Toe beans. Toe beans.
You're sucking all my happiness through my toe beans.
Okay, so Celoshorn Village finally comes into view. Celoshorn Village is on the back of a massive mud turtle. The turtle's back is the size of, let's see, what's a thing? A big hill? No. So in the distance, you see an enormous hill, and then the hill lifts its head and gazes out at you with sad green eyes before laying a massive tortoise head back down into the mud. The village has stairs built into the side of it that connect to the ground. It's been so long since this turtle has moved that there is infrastructure that is literally built up around it that would break if all the turtle were to do were to stand up or cough or sneeze. But it is so sullen that no need. So the stairs lead up to dozens of little crooked shacks, lean-tos. It looks like there's a fishing wharf, like docks built out on the side of the turtle where fishermen hang sad, limp lines into the water below. Giant mud skippers flop grotesquely, blimped up mud flaps and gills plopping and slopping around the ground all around your feet.
Gross.
And that's kind of a wet, sad, gross... festering, not festering, but like
kind of festering
place. That you see several giant plump mosquitoes floating over towards you. And they have this look on their faces, kind of like, I guess I'll eat you. I guess I'll bite you. I'm gonna bite you, and I'm just so sad about it. I just don't even know why I'm here anymore. Sort of flirts over towards you, and then And then just gives up, lays in the mud. It's too far. This place is already starting to like creep into you. In fact, would all of you please make a vitality difficulty 1 endeavor?
I rolled a 1.
Oh no.
18 for Cramuel.
Starting off strong for
17
Herdy.
For the barricade.
So that
the oil keeps the mud from like caking out of my skin.
So I rolled a I got a 5 with that minus 1.
Hmm. And well, I'm not going to use a grim you, so no worries.
And my inflated sense of self protects me from ever feeling sad.
Wow. Yeah. The oily and or muscular gentlemen do not seem too perturbed. Did anybody else fail?
I think you're just still like on cloud 9 from apologizing
to
on that apology game. Yeah, Val's got a 13.
Okay. Herdy can feel like the heat and like vitality slipping out of her a little bit. So you lose 1 point of mind or spirit, your choice. So the approach up to the village is a series of crooked, like poorly constructed staircases. And as you go to do so, you realize that there are a bunch of different staircases that lead to different places. There's one that goes to the market, one that goes to like the weirdest, saddest looking bakery that's just kind of a brick oven dangling precariously off the edge of the turtle.
It just seems wrong to have a sad bakery.
I know, right?
Then there's the fisherman's wharf.
What's the saddest pastry?
Scones.
I like scones.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
Like a
cranberry scone.
Like a delicious puff pastry that like didn't rise. Mm. Just like
I do think scones. They look like they should. They look like they should be better. They look like they should be better.
No, there's so much potential, and you eat one, and you're like,
God, they're so
beautiful. Unless they are
looking.
Literally Kalinka scones, they are not great.
The witches have described me as a scone in human form.
Oh, no. The human scone.
Good to look at.
Hell hath no fury,
but not
like
very
a human
tasty.
Scone.
Oh, my. So, speaking of which, or speaking of sad scones, I suppose we should... God damn it.
Those witches are not very nice to you, are they?
I'm sorry, I was having trouble getting over it.
No, they do not treat me very well.
No,
but it is okay, because the female of the population has been not treated well for millennia.
Okay.
I bow in
Lavaline's direction.
He bows in Lavaline's direction.
Why do I feel bad for him?
You know, Cramuel, you're making her a monolith for all women, and that's deeply problematic.
Oh,
you're fucked now.
It back, pal.
I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah, clearly.
Looks like you have some more self-work to do.
I'm learning every day.
It's an endless journey.
So thank you for educating me, even though it's not your responsibility as a bunny.
It's all right. Ooh. I'll get mine.
So, Acheska, I'm not sure why, but I'm suddenly feeling the urge to split up the party. Maybe since there are all these different locations, we could split up into groups of 2.
Yes, please.
And investigate. Ooh. Separately.
Cheska, can I, dibs, shotgun, standing by you?
Oh, God.
Shotgun on Cheska.
His earnestness, it
Well, I was just
hurts.
Hoping maybe you could maybe teach me some magic.
Oh, yeah, while we're walking around, I'll teach you some of the complex thought forms behind moonlight sorcery. That sounds fine.
Oh, baller.
Okay, so it's Acheska and Bonks. What other groups do we want?
Herdy casts a look at Lavaline. Join me, Queen Lavaline, your majesty.
So very quickly, the bunny rabbit is set upon you, Lavaline.
Yeah, that's fine.
It seems we have much to discuss.
Val just steps as far away from possible from the bard and is just like,
I'm coming in.
Taking her cue.
You're going to fall on that grenade.
Barricade grunts. I'm going to go get a beer. You want a beer, Val?
Sounds good, yeah.
So as Calendar the Bunny Bard definitely feels pulled towards Val because of her gentle beacon elven power. So he like looks at you and goes,
and then she puts her hands out like in a like fingers out in his face like,
okay,
not today.
Me and Barlim, barricade in Val.
Come on, Barlin, let's adventure together.
Yes, all right. Good. Come along, bunny friend.
I love that there's a couple of just Robbie that has to do
I'm so happy.
That conversation.
I'm so doing happy. The scene, goddammit. I know. It's happening.
We need it.
All right, let's roll initiative. Each one D6 from each group. Okay, so who's got the highest? What group has the highest initiative?
I got a 12.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Cramwell and a Cheska.
I'm ready to lead by example.
All right.
Great.
So, which of the locations, the docks, the pub? I think Barricade called the pub. So pretty the quickly. Sad bakery, the fishing docks.
You're welcome.
You can head over toward the market square.
The market there, the market square.
In the market there.
Come ye to the fair.
The fair.
The market there. The market there. Have you ever seen Brigadoon?
My dad went to Minnetonka High School, and the first fucking show he did was the musical Brigadoon.
All right, well, I would personally, and this is just my opinion, I'd like to go to the docks because my friend Nugs used to have a catamaran that we once beached on accident. And ever since then, I've been obsessed with sailing.
Interesting. I don't think that a lot of sailing is done at these docks, considering that they are up in the air on the side of a turtle above a mud pile, but I do think the docks are a great start.
I'm just saying, I know my way around a dock and a beach.
Do you?
Yeah.
I think you're a dock.
After me and Nugs beached that catamaran,
I'm weirdly...
I was banned from the Academia de Mysteries docks.
So you got, like, banned from multiple places.
I got banned from the area before I got banned from the totality of the school.
So how many different areas were you not allowed in?
Three.
Actually, what place? Three.
So there were three different places you weren't allowed in before they were just like,
get
out of here.
Docks first, then rec room, then bathroom.
Oh, God. Then women's bathroom.
All
bathrooms.
All bathrooms.
Just, you weren't allowed in bathrooms.
No, I had to go outside.
Was Nugs kicked out, too?
Nugs
wasn't even enrolled.
I was going to say, I'm starting to think that Nugs isn't a real person.
No, he was.
This is like a...
It's like his, like, familiar, or...
It's
Tyler
Durden.
It's Tyler Durden, yeah. Spoilers!
I think if you had learned the, like, Hogwarts bathroom trick, you could still attend school at the academy.
Yeah, I could have, but I never learned any magic.
They don't actually, like, go to the bathroom.
They just go in their robes. They like rad as hell.
And they use magic to like.
Yeah, they just shit and piss all over themselves.
Like,
and
then please, can we not do this
again? Magic it away.
Not again.
Not again.
No.
But anyway, yeah. Nugs was never enrolled. He just audited all the
class. Oh, okay.
That's
oh,
interesting. I didn't. They have a very generous auditing program.
Yeah, how convenient.
The Academy of Magic, I didn't realize.
It turns out if you know the right people, you can get in anywhere.
Apparently. Oh,
that's really interesting.
How the world works.
Wow, what a commentary.
I had to scald my soul in the depths of the Shentstone mines just to get enrolled. But
and you walked uphill both ways to get
there? No, not at all. I scream myself awake every morning.
Gnarly.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
But if I had just known the right people, I could have gotten in.
Easy peasy.
And gotten myself expelled from a crescendoing number of places inside of the building.
Nobody
before eventually
anymore,
flunking out entirely. How incredible.
I lived a charmed life.
And now you live a literally charmed life.
Yep. To the docks.
So Cramuel and Acheska make their way to the docks, where three sad fishermen are casting lines into the mud. Like, their lines aren't even always making it into the nearby, like, ponds of water. And just...
Sup, bros?
The silence is broken by words that have never been spoken in Seloshorn Village before.
Sup, bros.
The three men turn towards you with uniform, sad expressions. You realize that one is an orc, one is a dwarf, and one is an elven man, and they all have the same saggy gray skin. It's almost like their faces are starting to homogenize despite their different starting races. You see their clothing is also different from the far west, from the Ragelands to the east, from the Cryerstone Mountains of the south. They're all different, and their garb has all faded to this uniform gray, though it started as probably a multitude of different colors. Underneath their caps or wide hats, you can see that their heads are all shaved.
These are things I notice.
He says to no one about nothing.
Because that dialogue just went in my head. And yes. I say what.
Yeah. Bonks can hear the narrator. He can hear me and responds to me. But again, no one else can hear that. I like that. That's a good detail.
Welcome to Celoshorn Village, travelers.
Looks like you guys aren't really catching a lot. What's, you guys using the wrong bait?
We use no bait.
Well, there's your problem, amigo.
We get the fish when the fish give up.
Wow, that's really
bad. Wow, that is a bummer. So they just hook themselves?
Here's one now.
You see a fish swim lazily over to the edge of the pond and flop itself up onto the side with a look of such dejection and sadness in its eyes that you're not even surprised when it bites down on the hook and the man slowly starts to reel it in.
We eat fish tonight, boys.
That was maybe the saddest thing I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm. So, you know these waters pretty well, don't you, the three of you? Acheska asks them, to which they all nod. We're looking for a kelpie.
Plenty of kelpie in these waters.
Really?
Have you, seen, like, a... I guess I don't know how to describe it, other than seaweedy. Or an especially big kelpie?
Nope, not around here.
Oh. Huh. Well, do they all chill in one place?
No, but you can run into one anywhere along the water's edge. They hunt by peering out of the water. And some of them can charm you into hopping on their back and going for one last ride. Others...
And these guys are all just trading sentences, and their voices have also sort of homogenized together.
Others will leap out and bite into you with their teeth, drag you down screaming the hot, bloody way.
Intense. Well, we'll make sure to, not get eaten, hopefully, right? Acresca? Acresica?
What? I'm sorry. I was watching this fish accept its fate, and I can't really unsee that.
Oh, yeah, no.
Staring at the fish, just like being reeled up.
You gotta do what I do and just don't internalize anything ever.
Wow.
You are an unburdened masterpiece, aren't you?
I have been called that before.
Okay, meanwhile, who got the next highest?
We did. 11, yeah.
All right. Herdy and Lavaline, where would you like to head? Marketplace, the tavern, the sad bakery. There also appear to be weird little, sleeping hammocks underneath the edge of the turtle shell, over on the side, and there are just weird creatures sleeping in there.
Not
just
bad.
They're kind of, hanging like bats.
Marketplace? Yeah, I think that makes the most sense for us.
All right, the marketplace is three stalls, and they all seem to be trading the same, sad porcelain doll back and forth. They're trading a porcelain doll, a nude, no dress on it, very, like, it's like one of those dolls that's like a little too anatomically correct, you know, where you're like, kind of like the hips and the arms look too real, so it almost looks like a kid at certain angles, and you're like, ugh, do they have a dead baby? But no, it's a doll. It's just a doll with like weird stitching.
I didn't make him do this.
You know, those dolls.
You know those dolls, the dead baby dolls? No.
I don't until now.
there's a doll that's just like a little too lifelike. It's kind of upsetting to look at, and they're trading that back and forth for like a black box with silver inlay on it that looks like it has a key that opens, probably a music box or something, but it's tarnished and it's closed and they never open it. And they trade that, and then the third item that they're trading for looks like a petrified human heart. And they're just sort of trading these three women or men. Their faces, again, have all homogenized. It's hard to tell the difference. Their backs are hunched. They're different sizes and look like they've come from different lands. One of them has like had a pointy hat at one time, but it is like drooped, like the fin of an fin of an orca that is in captivity. But so they've come from all different places across the kingdoms, but now here they've all shaved their heads and they're all just fading into the same gray person.
That does not seem profitable.
I have absolutely no idea what they're doing.
I've never seen folks like this before. So.
I will trade you the doll for the petrified heart. Deal.
Wait, they're just trading with each other? Should we teach them capitalism? Because they're doing it wrong.
Don't do it! Somewhere the barricade goes, no!
It's already the swamp of sorrow. Don't add.
They're for sure doing it. I mean, whatever. It's
fine. I will be.
Oh, God.
I will trade you the petrified heart for the silent music box. Deal.
Hello, ladies and gentlethems.
Well met, traveler.
Talk to us about your wares.
All three?
Yes, please.
This is the doll. The doll was once a young woman. The young woman decided that she did not any longer want to be alive, and so she wished to the Grey Fairy, and the Grey Fairy granted her wish.
She became a doll?
This is the petrified heart of someone who turned to stone on their own strength.
Hello?
He startles him back away.
This is the heart that petrified inside the chest of Queen Kramachikla Barbalosa.
Spelled exactly like it sounds.
You idiot.
Karamachikla Barbarossa.
Okay. And what else you got?
This is a silent music box.
So just a box?
No.
It's different.
You idiot.
Despite wanting to hate her, I'm starting to really like Queen Lavalier.
That's all it took is that one perfectly choice line.
Inside this music box is the most beautiful song ever conceived by artificers.
But it's silent.
But upon the death of his child, the creator locked the box so that none would hear its joy.
That's really Have you tried unlocking it?
Have you broken it? Open?
Why the hell would we do that? You're going to ruin it. I will trade you the doll for the silent music box.
So you just trade with each other? Does anyone from outside of the Swamp of Sorrows ever come through to offer trades?
Oh, you have asked a very good question. Someone did come through recently.
Who?
She was strange and dangerous. She did not give her name, but we all knew to fear her, even though we do not fear death.
When did this happen?
2 days past.
Do you know what she looked like?
Tall, slanted shark teeth.
gills and green seaweed dangling from her arm hair.
That's Kel.
That sounds like Kel, yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what way she went?
I do not know, but I do know what she offered in trade.
What did she offer?
His hand slowly, like, rakes across the table that he's sitting at and goes down and then picks up and he puts one of those Janus piglets in a jar, like the two-headed, piglets on the jar. And you can see it has... Oh, that's so sad. It has teeny little wings.
This is the pig that would have flown.
That's the when pigs fly pig?
It died in utero.
What did... Wow.
Okay, yeah. What did you give her for such an incredible trinket?
I gave her the name of the storyteller of our village. Who could tell her where to find what she seeked?
Did she tell you what she seeked?
She seeked a worthy mount.
Where is this storyteller?
What do you have in trade
for
me?
I knew it. I knew we were going to get here. All right.
Meanwhile, Val and the barricade went to the bar. The Drip.
It's called the Drip.
It's called the Drip.
I love it.
There is one tap in the Drip, and it is in the middle of the room.
It's warm Coors Light.
It is warm, thin ale.
Do not speak ill of a warm silver bullet, all right?
Oh, no. Warm as the Rockies.
Okay. Yeah, me and Nugs could crush 24 of those apiece. And that's just on Taco Tuesdays.
Is there a bartender?
Yeah, he's sitting not anywhere near the tap. The tap is, like, in the middle of the room. It just seems to be a serve-yourself situation. And there are a lot of people in here. In fact, every bar stool, every booth seat, every table chair is full of a depressed, drunken, stupor-induced individual. Again, all gray, all homogenizing into one, like, uniform lump of sad person.
Mm-hmm. Huh. I kind of
expect it to be. Well, whatever.
It's deadly silent in here, by the way.
Ooh, great vibes in this entire town area, whatever you want to call it.
This is the sound of one man next to Val who heard her like mutter something about the vibes, lifting his stein to her.
I need a beer, but I don't want one here. Does that make sense?
This place needs a
band.
Helga the Hammer match. Something for these folks to look forward to.
I love Helga the Hammer.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah.
We pour our own beer. How does this work?
Help yourself.
Excellent.
The town council pays for it. As a social lubricant.
Oh, God. I hate this so much.
We were trying to increase town morale.
Has it worked?
Everyone raises their sad alcohol-filled steins.
Hey.
Well then, I guess we drink to town morale. All
right. So we haven't been this merry in years.
Cheers.
Well, we gotta work this room and get some intel. Everyone seems really happy to talk.
Or we could just eat. Think they got any food?
All
they do
right.
It sad.
You see one guy with like a chef's like cap on go,
"All right, I knew I was supposed to do something this morning."
God.
What a gastropub.
I'll get the haggis ready in a few hours.
Oh. Not haggis.
No, thanks.
Yes, haggis.
No, haggis.
Haggis only?
It's all we've got.
All you can eat haggis?
God. All you can eat haggis in 2 hours. Oh, if I can find that sheep.
Do you have anything? Do you have a vegetarian menu?
Absolutely not.
What about like a bowl of nuts or some pretzels? Don't look at me like that.
The bartender rolls his eyes and goes behind and pulls out a jar of like pickled pig's feet and then the saddest, dustiest bowl of crackers he puts out on the table.
Oh my god, I'm gonna need to tie it off after all this work.
Yeah, working to the bone here.
Jesus.
At the self-service bar.
Alright, Barricade downs his beer in like three gulps.
Damn.
It may as well be water. I mean, it is beer, technically. It just sort of tastes beer, lightly beer flavored.
And then I move to pour another one, and I look at Val to see if she is ready for a second one.
I feel like she's just like, just very
delicately sipping. Nibbling she's on the like, oh, on the pretzels and chips.
Yeah, just kind of staring off into the distance, like, how could this place be worse than Forsythia?
All right, so Barricade, so you don't want another one yet?
Oh, no, I'm still nursing. All right,
well,
this
I
one.
Will down the second one and start pouring a third.
Damn, Barricade. Yeah. I can tell those thighs got so thick.
Okay.
All right. Listen up, everyone.
Oh. They shrink away from the volume of your voice.
Yeah. A little.
I don't know anything about that.
Me and my companion here are hunters. Big game hunters. Help us.
They gesture to the mantelpiece where you hadn't noticed the severed heads of several small, like, rabbits and squirrels that they have mounted on the wall as their game.
Tell you what, we're after something a little more monstrous.
I don't know, that squirrel
Not
was
that
fucking
squirrel.
Crazy.
You?
It, sorry.
Point us in the right direction. We'll bring you back a head worth putting on that wall and a story to cure your boredom for one night.
Sorry, Amanda. They smack dry lips at Amanda.
While they think about that, he downs the third beer and starts pouring a fourth.
Good speech.
All right, he's stranger.
No, he's not even close.
No, God, I mean, again, it is so weak that, like, a massive
just
brute.
Just water.
A huge dude like the Barricade is going to need quite a lot of this to even feel it.
All right, stranger. What sort of game are you hunting? Carnivorous snailman?
Water horse.
Fuck. Well, there's quite a few.
We want the biggest one. If you want the best story. You want the best
Their
story.
Their eyes,
right?
Like, dart around to one another.
We aren't allowed to speak of it.
Why is that?
Because of what happened last time.
What happened last time?
Well, I don't know if I want to say. Because of what happened last time. But a lot. It doesn't like us saying its name.
Well, I don't need its name. I just need to know where to find it.
Oh, that's a good point. I don't know. Maybe we're not supposed to. Alright. I'm going to send you to our storyteller. The storyteller is allowed to speak of such things.
Well,
then. Where is the storyteller?
Go to the center of town and look for a hole.
Of all the Kelpies that had ever ridden, Miali the Rush liked to think they were the foulest. But keeping up was always hard. There were so many, many bad things. And a bad thing, no matter how bad, faded in time. An absolute abomination is only good for what? A generation? Two? Mortals are very selfish creatures, with short lives and short memories. Miali watched them from the water's edge. They have watched you too, likely. Next time you are near still water, spare a glance below the surface and look for their eyes. Miali watches, patient, learning, getting hungrier and hungrier. They had seen some of them say and think ludicrous things. Once they saw a man drop a parcel on the street where it had burst, sending its contents spilling into the gutter. Miali watched him from a puddle, his face turning redder and redder. As he stooped down to gather up his papers and documents, it began to rain. The papers and documents began to run and thin, and some began to float away on sudden eddies of water and dirt amid little rafts of cast-off cigarettes. The man howled in rage. Miali could not believe its eyes. The man's rage was pure, white-hot. He roared with absolute hatred, fury, and abandon. The fey beast was utterly shocked and could not help but think of the last time they had heard such a roar. A man walked to the side of a little river behind his house. His eyes flicked wildly around, trying to make sense of what he was seeing. His mind would not let him fully take in what Miali had left behind next to the small fishing pole on the bank. The fishing pole he had made, gifted for his son's 7th birthday. As the man had realized, he howled. Rage, fury, abandon. The same roar as another man, years later, over the fact that his documents, ledgers, and contracts had gotten wet. The puddle grew big enough for Miali to reach its muzzle through. They snapped, bit open the man's stomach, and snaked a long tongue within the wound. Sure enough, he had a heart. It was the same sort of heart the bereaved father had had. No larger or smaller, no different. Miali had been very confused about this incident for years. But after much pondering, had realized that for mortals, horror and tragedy are dimmed by time, and perspective does not seem to exist. They experience their lives as a line. The further back from them on the line, the smaller it seems. The tragedy, like prey in the distance. And everything was a matter of perspective because their vision was so narrow. They could not tell the truly horrific from the merely inconvenient. All this relativity made it very difficult for Miali to keep its reputation as the most depraved, most abominable among fey beasts. It was a very active endeavor. Horror is only as potent as its most recent shock, and travesty had a shelf life. Nothing seemed horrible forever. But then Miali had a brilliant idea.
Forever. What if Miali would do something bad that would really last forever? Steal forever from someone who had found it.
And after much deliberation, searching and struggling, Miali began to hunt along the shores of the Golden Realm. For if one could snatch a soul from heaven, well, wouldn't that be a horror for the ages? Wouldn't that be a bad thing that really would last forever?
Thanks for listening to Could Have Been Heroes, production and editing by Aaron Schoenrock, theme song by Bo Hoover, and cover art by me, Robert Knudsen.
Could Have Been Heroes is an entirely independent podcast, so if you like the show, please subscribe and review. For exclusive content and hands-on Farital access, head to patreon.com/CBHpod.
Tune in next week for more adventures, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram @CBHpod. And check out our website, couldhavebeenheroes.com.